Good morning. I call the Board of Supervisors meeting to order. Can everybody please rise to the flag salute?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This morning, we have a couple presentations, and we'll get started with the 25th anniversary of Napa County Health Services Agency Foundation Day.
Good morning. Mary Ann Lee with Health Services Agency. I want to start by saying that I'd like to admit that sometimes I think we get so focused on the work that's in front of us that we don't take enough time to appreciate those that are helping us, particularly those that don't really have to. They're volunteering their time. So this morning I want to try to change that a little bit and recognize two organizations that are very special to the Health Services Agency. Without question, the volunteer spirit is alive and well in Stanislaus County. First, I'd like to comment on the HSA Foundation. It's a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, and it was created in 1982, making this their 25th anniversary. The organization's purpose is to raise money to support the county's health system. It's made up of dedicated community individuals who volunteer to support the agency's mission. Last year alone, the agency and our community benefited from the organization with $86,000 that the foundation raised. These dollars funded multiple services and equipment, just to give you an idea. exam tables for our clinics, medical equipment for the family practice residency program, bus passes for patients that otherwise might not have been able to get to their medical appointments, the dental sealant program for needy children, and Project Healthy Kids, a nutrition promotional camp. The six areas of current focus of the foundation include our family medicine residency program, the clinic system, prevention activities, children's services, elderly care, and medical scholarships. I want to take time to congratulate the HSA Foundation on their 25th anniversary and express the agency's gratitude for their continued commitment and contributions. They truly help us achieve our objectives in our effort to make for a healthier community. With that, let's see, we have a few of the HSA Foundation board members in the audience, and I'd like to introduce Judy Fisher and Heidi Santino. And if you will go back over here, we'll invite you to go back to the board to receive the resolution.
Well, good morning and welcome and congratulations on the 25th anniversary. This is just absolutely wonderful. Mary Ann Lee hit all the high points. I just want to talk a little bit about the past year alone. $86,000 for equipment projects and activities such as the Family Medicine Residency Program, Dental Sealant Program, Project Healthy Kids, Adopt a Clinic, Community Education Events, Scholarships, Exam Tables, medical equipment. Just incredible. Foundation is just a wonderful organization, and you know it means a lot to me. So congratulations on 25 years. I have a resolution from the Board of Supervisors.
I'll start. Thank you. A big thank you, and I appreciate all the support we've gotten from the community and from the Board of Supervisors, and in particular the staff of the HSA. All that we do is supporting their programs, and we couldn't do it without their direction. So I appreciate our board members, and I appreciate the Board of Supervisors for their wisdom and guidance in spending dollars for the health services of this community. And let's eradicate our heart issues and our infant mortality. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm not finished, and that's a good thing, because we have another organization that we're so fortunate that helps us. I want to turn now to the Health Services Agency Volunteers Group. This group began back in 1964. They have a long history and have just flourished over the years. While the agency has changed tremendously in 40 years, our need for volunteer help remains unchanged, and the volunteer organization continues to meet the challenges. The volunteers this fiscal year alone have already contributed 8,000 hours of service to our agency. That's within our clinics, within public health, the information desk, and a gift shop that the volunteers run to raise money to fund some special agency needs. Some remarkable statistics. During 2006, the volunteers ran over 800 errands. They put together 50,827 packets. They provided wheelchair support for about 300 patients, and they answered questions from visitors 4,863 times. I don't have figures to go back to 1964, but this is truly remarkable. Since 1998, our volunteers have contributed over 145,000 hours in support of our agency and the patients that we serve. The week of April 15th through the 21st is National Volunteer Week. In honor of the volunteers of our agency and all the volunteers in Santa Claus County, we ask the board to proclaim that week as Volunteer Week in Santa Claus County as well. I'd like to introduce the HSA Volunteer President, Dennis Goodman, and Board Member Shirley Hausner, and the Volunteers Manager, Kathy Phillips, and invite them back to receive a proclamation.
Well, everything that Health Services Agency does is just incredible. You know, we always have budget issues that we discuss and all the rest, but there's one thing that's absolutely clear. We couldn't do what we do without our volunteers. And to thank you three and the numerous volunteers who are out there every day helping is just incredible, and I just want to thank you for it. I do have a resolution here that states a lot of what Mary Ann Lee's had to say, and the numbers are just incredible. 145,000 hours of service just since 1998 alone, valued at over $2.6 million. So, again, thank you, and thank you to all the volunteers. We do appreciate it. Have a resolution for you. And I'll invite you to say a couple words. They're all looking towards Dennis.
I'm a representative for all the hardworking volunteers, and thank you very much for the proclamation. We really appreciate it, and we all enjoy doing the service.
Okay, next on the agenda is public comment period. This is a time in the agenda where you may speak on any issue that is not on the agenda. I have no specific request this morning to speak. Is there anybody in the audience that wishes to speak on any item that is not on today's agenda? Seeing none, we will move on to consent calendar. Is there any item that needs to be pulled or discussed on consent calendar?
And Mr. Chairman, I would like to pull item D3.
D3. Any other items? Can I have a motion to approve consent calendar minus D3?
So moved.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Item D3, Mr. DeMartini.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know this is a consent agenda item setting the public hearing. And this is about the agricultural element, and I just would like to make a comment about it because so many people have worked on this really for the past year and a half. And I just want to make the comments that the goals remained unchanged, the strengthening the agricultural sector, the economy, conserving agricultural lands for agricultural uses, and protecting the natural resources that sustain agriculture. Although the goals are the same, there are some sweeping land use reforms in this item that will be coming before the board in 2 weeks. And they are just the highlights of it would be defining agricultural viability, which has been a challenge to come up with a definition, but I think that we have a good one. It will stop the creation of ranchettes, establishing no build provisions in certain instances, directing growth to the cities, which is a clear change in the policy, in requiring ag mitigation for development by buying conservation easements, and establishing buffers around agriculture from development. I look forward to bringing this to the board in a couple of weeks, and it's been a lot of work went into it, and I think it's just a really good document that we're going to have to bring forward. With that, I make the motion that we approve item D3.
Okay, motion by Mr. DeMartini. And just for clarification for anybody who's watching this, this is to set the public hearing on April 17th. So April 17th, we'll be discussing this issue in great detail. I have a motion by Mr. DeMartini. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a second by Supervisor Grover. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Now to item B9, approval of the Health Services Agency Public Health Division 2007 Annual Report.
Good morning, Chairman O'Brien, members of the board. We are bringing you the 2007 Public Health Report, and it is our intent within this report to demonstrate our compliance with four board priorities. That is a safe community, a healthy community, effective partnerships, and effective government. Next slide, please. This slide is a statistical snapshot of our county and is intended to highlight some of the significant health challenges that we face as a community. And it's important for you as a board, and I'm sure you're aware of this, that we are a county of rapid growth and rapid demographic change. Our county has doubled in population since 1980. I mean, look at those numbers. We're a county of more than 500,000 people. There are more residents in Stanislaus County than in the state of Wyoming. And we're not a small county. We're the 15th largest out of 58 counties. And as such, 80% of our residents live in areas that qualify federally as urban areas. And as such, we're dealing with urban issues. Next slide, please. This week is National Public Health Week. And the theme, the national theme, is emergency preparedness. So clearly, your board priority for a safe community is one that we keep in mind. During 2006, one of our initiatives was to train and deploy Mark 1 kits, which are chemical antidotes for our first responders. In addition, we completed Project Public Health Ready, and I really want to commend our emergency preparedness staff for their work on this project. We were one of only 30 health departments in the country to be recognized for completing this project for staff training for emergency preparedness. Next slide, please. In addition, during the year, we worked very hard on pandemic preparedness, and this photo is from our exercise last May, a tabletop exercise. Not pictured here is an activity called the Surge Capacity Roundtable. The CEO and Patty Hill Thomas have really helped us in bringing the health executives together to look at these issues so that we can be prepared as a community. Thank you again. Next slide. As regards a healthy community, we face some challenges, and we just wanted to share with you three examples of some successes that we experienced last year. Here you see a GIS map looking at mosquito samplings in the county last year, well over 1,000, with a number of positives, and as you can see, distributed throughout the county. And frankly, it is remarkable that we had only 12 human cases last year compared to more than 90 the year before. And we have already started our efforts for 2007. Next slide, please. Your board is aware of the gonorrhea epidemic that we experienced several years ago. And the public may not be able to see that small asterisk there at the peak of the epidemic, but that asterisk is where your board approved the establishment of the STD clinic at Public Health. And as you see, we've had a dramatic improvement. Next slide, please. Here is a graph of an outbreak of pertussis, or whooping cough, something we associated with children. But in fact, it has become a disease of all ages, including adolescents and adults. And again, the asterisks demonstrate that the height of the outbreak is when a vaccine became available for adolescents and adults. And that has made a significant improvement, as well as the hard work of our CD nurses and school nurses in contact investigation. So see, these are some of our successes, and Phoebe will continue as regards a healthy community.
Thank you, Dr. Walker. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Phoebe Long from the Health Services Agency. I will continue to highlight some of the activities that HSA has implemented during this past year to meet the board's goal of a healthy community. Santa Fe County has consistently been ranked among the top three worst counties in the state in death rates due to heart disease. Factors leading to heart disease include high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, and overweight. Now, in our county, about 60% of our adults and over 30% of our school children are overweight. We know for a fact that the most preventable leading causes of chronic diseases and overweight is unhealthy eating habits and physical inactivity. The cost of inactivity, overweight, and obesity is estimated at $21.7 billion for this country a year alone. So in the past year, HSA has been focusing on obesity prevention to address the reduction of chronic diseases. And I would like to share some of a couple of programs that we have implemented last year. The Project Healthy Kids in Robertson Road. This project is sponsored by the Heart Coalition, which was established in the Health Services Agency in 1999. This project is a week-long day camp for children who are overweight or at risk of being overweight at the Robertson Road Elementary School, with the goal of helping the children and their parents learn and establish healthy lifestyles. We had 48 children participated in the summer of last year, and we went back 6 months later to do a follow-up celebration and presentation. All the children came back, and they were able to tell us what they have learned, and they remember what they have learned, and they also told us that many of them had changed their lifestyles together with their parents, and it was a very rewarding experience. Recognizing the importance of healthy employees, HSA implemented or started our Healthy HSA initiative 3 years ago. We are especially appreciative of the board's support for employee wellness as well and your proclamation of Employee Wellness Week during February. The Healthy HSA Initiative is a 4-month campaign during which time we provide a lot of resources and support to encourage our employees to adopt healthy eating habits and behavior and increase their physical activity. Last year, we also expanded this to the rest of the county employees, and we helped conduct a number of presentations to county employees and also at the safety fair. I'm happy to report that I've seen many of our employees taking walking breaks just to increase their physical activity. The Women, Infants, and Children Nutrition Program not only provides nutritious food to almost 19,000 individuals on a monthly basis, it also has been focusing on obesity prevention. WIC provides vouchers for participants to purchase fruits and vegetables at the local farmers market to encourage and promote the consumption of more fresh fruits and vegetables. Also, breastfeeding is considered the primary and first strategy in the prevention of obesity later on in life. Our WIC program has been implementing a few activities to encourage breastfeeding for our WIC moms. The most notable activity that we have implemented is the installation of a dedicated phone line for breastfeeding moms to call when they have questions. And that alone has helped increase our breastfeeding rate from 6.0% in 2004 to over 9% in 2006. In the area of maternal child health, a significant project to highlight is the Healthy Birth Outcomes Project. The goal of this project is to improve birth and child health outcomes by increasing the number of babies born at term and at adequate weight. In addition, part of the goal is to improve family functioning and the maternal child support systems in this county. This program is funded by the Family and Children Commission and has three components: intensive case management to high-risk pregnant moms, community-based services, and the third component is provider outreach. Since its inception in January of 2004, the intensive case management has resulted in 244 births with a total of 253 deliveries. We have 9 sets of twins. 222 of these births, which is 91%, were full-term babies, which means that they are delivered at 30 weeks or more of gestation. 229 of these babies, which equals to 92%, were adequate weight, which is over 5.5 pounds. And 51 of the mothers chose to breastfeed. And 35 of them continue to breastfeed at 6 months. Considering one full-term baby generate a cost savings of $51,000, 222 full-term babies have resulted in a potential saving of $11.4 million for this county. Immunization. One important indicator of a healthy community is the immunization rates of children in the community. In the past year, we have accomplished a number of successes in our immunization program. We utilize the Clinic Assessment Software application, CASA, to collect immunization data and assess the immunization status of children in the clinics. The benchmark measurement is the percentage of two-year-olds who are up to date with their immunizations. We have increased our rates from 48% in year 2001 to 85% in year 2006, and this is countywide. Another assessment is the kindergarten retrospective assessment, where we use the data and review kindergarten immunization information. The rate also has been up from 60% in 2001 to 81% in 2006. San Jose County implements the Regional Immunization Data Exchange in the year 2000. This is called RIDE. It is an internet-based registry to collect and consolidate immunization information from multiple providers, all the providers in the county. To date, we have 61 providers logged on to this registry, and with over 270,000 patient records. And we have a 96% of our 0 to 5 children registered in this registry. We are the only county in this state to meet the 2010 goal of having 95% of our 0 to 5 children in the registry. And I will now turn it over to Bree to talk about the other board priorities.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. It is indeed a pleasure for me to report on the partnership component of the board's priorities. One of the projects that we've embarked upon is called Mobilize into Action through Planning and Partnerships. And it's a public health system assessment, and the system is not just about the public health department. It's about the whole system, everyone who has anything to do with improving the health of children and families in the county. But what our goal is, of course, leading the way to a healthier Stanislaus, the same as the board's goal. We held a workshop for key stakeholders, and those stakeholders are, again, all of those who have anything to do with working with families in this community. We had over 120 participants at the workshop, and those 120 participants represented 40 different agencies within Stanislaus County. And the important thing about it, this goal was to look at what were the key issues that we could identify, not based on data alone, but based on assessments done by the community. The priority areas chosen by these 120 participants are the priority areas of chronic diseases, which of course includes diabetes, heart disease, and obesity, substance abuse, and safe and walkable communities. The Public Health Division prides itself on partnerships. And if you look in your book, you will see the partnerships that we've amassed over the years. And if we currently have 449 partners who collaborate with us in doing the work that we do in public health, without whom we would not be able to continue some of the projects because, as you know, we don't have a lot of money in the county. So every partner is worth, to us, $1 million. So we are wealthy. One of the things we also wanted to present in terms of the board's efficient delivery of public services, we have one thing we wanted to talk about, and it's not saying that everything is great. We want to talk about our California Children's Services. What we want to highlight is sometimes what we term efficient may prove to be inefficient to others. And this is a state efficiency project that has led to some of our inefficiencies. The process improvements that were made in terms of the state was that instead of the claims coming to us, which should have been a positive for us, the claims go directly to the state. They bypass our CCS office, so we do not see them. They go directly to the state, who pays. The providers now bill from their various offices through electronic data system. And again, rather than have patients apply for Medi-Cal sometimes, if they have Medi-Cal, they may have a share of cost. That share of cost they may not be able to pay. So this then allows the provider, because the child may have a CCS eligible condition, to charge CCS and bypass the office again and bill to the state. It has a budget impact for the health services agency in that the cost of treating these children has amassed. Our caseload for 0506, 3,660. And now we have from 2,900 and just 2002, 2003. And the cases that are CCS only are 466. And that has been an increase from 192 cases in 2002 and 2003. So our caseload has increased. Though services that are provided, of course, the treatments for doctors, hospitals, surgical care, physical therapy, and occupational therapy, orthopedic services. We also provide medical case management. The funds are for Medi-Cal, Healthy Families, and then, of course, CCS, for those cases that have CCS-eligible conditions. And Just this last year, the county contribution increased, and our increase was from $227,326 in 0304 to $425,545 in 2006 and 2007. And if you remember, this did come before the board a couple of months ago to ask for increased revenue, which was taken from the public health fund balance. And so the caseload growth has been enormous for us. What happens with because of the caseload, the year facing CCS again, we've had more than doubled our cases. The high dollar costs come about because of treatment for certain cancer kids, those with hemophilia, cerebral palsy, spina bifida, and often those cases cost more than $400,000 per client per year. Because the numbers have increased, we know, therefore, it's been a statistically significant increase in cost as well as clients. Advances in medical care has also been our friend, but also a cost to us. Because as advances in medicine continue, those kids live longer and the costs are generated. We have those kids again who may not be eligible for Medi-Cal and healthy families, and they are CCS only. In this instance, we have those kids who may be eligible for Medi-Cal, but have, a copay. And if they can't pay the copay, they become CCS only, and that cost comes to the county and the state. The state and the county share the cost at 50-50. Other efficiencies of services is our vital records department, which we hardly ever talk about. In vital records, we have over 3,841 deaths that are processed just in 2006. We had 9,429 births that were recorded through the vital records department. The state, again, initiated an efficiency in terms of the electronic death registry, and that allows our vital stats staff, the funeral directors, and the coroners to be able to be on the same page. They can record or report a birth or death, mainly a death is what we're concerned about here. They can record that death, and it goes directly to all of them, and it eliminates the back and forth of our staff trying to identify what the doctor said in terms of a death diagnosis. It also expedites the services and therefore allows us to get the death certificates to the families and permits for burial at a faster rate, and that's a very positive thing. The other is our ADLIS system, which we talked about before when you gave us permission to enter into agreement with ADLIS for case management and some of the integrated services in public health. It allows all of us to manage the public health data for all of our programs. It allows us also to make sure that we don't duplicate services, particularly in case management. If we have a case that comes in, it allows the nurse then to be able to give that client to a staff and make sure we know that it has been seen by somebody and it doesn't come in again and is rerouted to another nurse. It also allows us to be able to tell how many patients we see in case management, where they are, and that kind of information. So it's important in terms of our tracking and assigning cases. With Well BMCR, it allows the providers in the county, one of the requirements that providers and labs have, and that is to report communicable diseases to the health department. Through this, Well BMCR, instead of the physician or anyone calling on the phone to report a disease, it is electronically recorded and comes directly to the staff and allows us to do better in terms of our case management or reporting and monitoring and surveillance. So those are some of the process improvements. And there are others in your binder that we have not brought before you today. And so this is an opportunity for you to ask us any questions about the things that we talked about today or those that we may have missed.
Questions from the board?
Supervisor DeMartini?
I must say that this has been the most complete report that you've given the board since I've been here. I went through it and I was really impressed with the statistics and the information in it. It's far above what we've received in the past. I'm very happy with it.
Well, thank you.
This is one report I'll save.
Well, thank you.
Other comments or questions? I have just a quick comment, open-ended question having to do with heart disease. Are we doing everything we possibly can to reduce this rate? And that may be a question to ponder, to try to facilitate different ideas, and I don't really expect a complete answer because I don't think we all have one. But that is, when we look at all the rankings, that is by far our worst. We're again, third worst in the state. And I would like to see if we can decrease that.
To give a brief answer, no, we're not doing everything. But certainly within our current resources, we're doing as much as we can. I think one of the most significant things that we recognize is that heart disease is really the result of broad determinants of health and not just personal habits. And probably the most important thing that you heard Phoebe sharing earlier is our focus on our children. Changing heart disease and its impact on this county will take a generation. We have statistics and projections that our current group of preschoolers, like my grandchildren, could be the first generation in American history to live shorter than their parents. This is alarming. And this really requires fundamental change and broad changes. So to answer your question, no, we're not doing all we can, but we certainly are starting where we think the impact will be the most recognized in our future, which is with our preschoolers.
I agree. Into our youth. We've got to invest in our children. Are there any comments or questions from the audience?
I would like to just say one thing.
All right.
It would be remiss of us to take credit for all of the report, and I would like to recognize the staff who all contributed many hours to making sure that we had a product that you could be proud of and that we could represent Santa Fe County. Thank you.
I'll bring it back to the board. Is there a motion to adopt?
It sounds like Supervisor DeMartini had a motion down there.
Yes, I would like to make the motion to adopt the report. Very good one.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. Okay, moving on to item C3, Approval of Transportation Development Act Claims for Fiscal Year 06-07.
Good morning, Chairman O'Brien, members of the board. My name is Diane Haugh. I'm Public Works Business Manager. With me today is Brad Christian. He's Public Works Transit Manager. The item before you this morning is requesting your approval of two Transportation Development Act claims for fiscal year 2006-2007. Transportation Development Act funds in the form of state transit assistance funds and local transportation funds support transit and road and bridge operations. The total amount of funding claimed is approximately $5.1 million, and of this, $2.6 million will go to fund transit operations, and $2.5 million will fund road operations, maintenance, and non-motorized projects. The original transit claim was approved by your board on May 23, 2006. Claim number two, presented today, is the result of the State Controller's Office increasing their estimate of State Transit Assistance, or STA, funds for the Stanislaus region. These funds are distributed by STANCOG, and an increase in FTA funding reduces the need to apply local transportation funds to transit operations. The funds then are available for road operations. The increase in FTA funds has resulted in an additional $634,000 for road maintenance, and this amount is included in the $2.5 million of local transportation funds before you today. There were some questions previously regarding the transit claim, and Brad is here this morning to address those questions.
Chairman O'Brien, member of the board, CEO Robinson, Brad Christian, transit manager for the Public Works Transit Division. Last week, Supervisor Mayfield had some costs regarding the fringe benefits in relationship to the labor costs. I can understand his concerns. The fringe benefits appear to be 50% of the labor costs. To address Supervisor Mayfield's questions, please turn to the next to last page of the transit claim under the operating expenses. As you can see, we have made some adjustments. The fringe benefits are now 33.5% of the labor costs. The dollars in the labor costs include our regular pay, vacation, and sick time costs, and fringe benefits includes retirement, workers' comp, FICA, and health benefits costs. The total dollars within the operating expense section of the claim have not changed. Since our TDA claim must be approved by the Stancock Policy Board before funds can be released, the Transit Division has always done its claim in the format and with the approval of the Stancock Policy Board. In light of Supervisor Mayfield's comments, I discussed the changes we have made with Stancock finance staff, and they are in agreement with what we have done. We have taken items that in the past have been viewed as fringe benefits and put them in labor, while at the same time removing a labor item and putting it under services. From now on, the County Transit TDA claim will reflect these changes. I apologize for not being able to get the information to you last week, but because of the nature of our claim, we have kind of a snowball effect. I wanted to make sure that nothing else was impacted. But as you can see, with these changes, the only section that has been changed has been the operating expense section. Thank you for giving me a chance to explain that, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions or comments from the board?
Thank you for explaining it. That makes it a little bit clearer. When I read the agenda, I couldn't figure out how that could be so. Just one question. The ridership on all our transit we have in the county, how much percent has it went up?
We're actually up about 2%, which doesn't sound like much, but it's amazing. In fact, the transit manager for the city of Modesto last week commented that ridership in Central Valley is generally down. So we are bucking that trend. So,
how many people are we talking about that?
Our total system last year carried over 254,000 people, and so yeah, like I say, we're on right now we're 2% above that. On a projection, it'd be 2%.
If I just was to ask you a question,
sure.
With the amount of money that we spend on it, what would you have any idea what that would cost per ridership?
It really depends on the type of service. Obviously, your dial-a-ride service is more expensive, and off the top of my head, I think that runs roughly $18 a passenger. And then for the fixed route, it probably runs about, I think, $2.50 a passenger.
Okay.
And that's taking in all the total labor costs and fuel and everything. Fuel has just had a major, major impact on operations. Just kind of a side comment. I believe last year when we submitted our claim, we actually had the lowest operating cost per passenger of all the operators in Stanislaus County. So, you know, we're trying to keep the cost down.
Have we looked into using a different type of fuel for these buses?
Well, we are using CNG, and through by using the compressed natural gas,
right,
which is out there at our Morgan Road shop, we have actually saved at the best time, the lowest cost of CNG, we were actually saving $4 to $5 per operating hour by using CNG. And like I said, we also saved money by when we bought the buses. 88% of the buses were funded by federal funds,
mm-hmm.
So very little county input on that. Unfortunately, CNG doesn't work for the smaller buses. It just does not have the range. It works for dial-a-ride type buses within cities, but because we travel such a long distance with ours, it's just not feasible.
Thank you. I have to laugh because we always talk about federal funds, state funds. They're really all our funds.
You're correct. Yes.
Thank you.
Supervisor DeMartini?
Yes, I was curious of how the state controller's office missed the estimate for the state transportation assistance funds. The estimate is off so much that I wonder how that can happen. I think his estimate, according to the report that I read, was about $1.7 million in the actual funds he revised to $4.6 million, which is substantially off. Do you have any reason how he missed it that much?
I believe the difference on that could be due to the fact that it's the STA funds are derived from the statewide sales tax on gasoline. So my assumption would be that with the increased price of fuel in the last year, that we've actually had a little bit of a trickle-down effect on those increased pricing with the benefit of the increased tax dollars on the gasoline.
If I might comment also, one of the other things that has happened in the past is the state government has borrowed money from STA to fund other items. So this was actually the first year in many years in which we have gotten the amount that was due. Now, under the proposed governor's budget, it looks like they're going to do that again with 1B funds and state transit assistance. So that seems to be the transit dollars that are really, really impacted whenever they need more funds.
They steal it. They don't borrow it. They steal it. That's what they do.
I'm being polite.
Is some of this $4.6 million money that's being paid back from previous years, or this is just the first time we've ever received full allocation?
It's really the first time in a long time we've received the full allocation.
I realize, you know, some of the tax revenue can be hard to estimate. I'm just really surprised it's that far off.
We were all caught off guard by the huge difference. But it's positive. I mean, we're getting...
Well, it's positive. It's okay that it's positive. I hope that next year it's not an estimate of $4.6 million and we get $1.7. Then it's not going to be so good. The state needs to do a little bit better job in estimating state transportation assistance funds. Okay, it was just so far off that I just had that to ask. It wasn't even close.
So if you say we got by on $1.7 million, and we can attribute this all to the cost of fuel, and now we're up to $404 million. How did we get by on $1.7 million when now we got $4 million? You must be flush.
No, actually what happens is when we have more state transit assistance fund, which can only be used for transit, it then frees up the local transportation funds so they can be used for streets and roads. So it's really a shifting of dollars. It does benefit streets and roads.
Okay, where's that money going?
If I could make a comment, the $4 million was in the Stanislaus region, so that gets distributed to the cities and county.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't come to the county. The county portion of that $4 million was the $673,615.
The rest goes to cities?
Yes.
Okay.
It's divvied out on, I believe, a population-based formula through Stanford.
Okay. I thought you were flush.
No, we don't have extra dollars in the bank.
Being that I pulled them last week, I'll make a motion to accept it.
I have a motion by Supervisor Mayfield, second by Supervisor Grover. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to correspondence.
This board has received a letter from the Patterson Frozen Foods updating their plans to initiate a plant closure of its frozen food processing, warehousing, and harvesting operations located at 100 West Las Palmas Avenue in Patterson, expected to take place within a 14-day period beginning April 24, 2007.
Refer to Alliance WorkNet, the Stanislaus Economic Development and Workforce Alliance, and the Department of Environmental Resources.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
We acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisor reports?
Yeah, I have one, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to mention that I've been trying to put together the Westside Healthcare Task Force, and tonight I will be going through the last city in the region, which is really in Merced County. It's the city of Gustine. And I've been to Westside Healthcare District, Del Puerto Healthcare District, and the cities of Patterson and Newman. Each of them have put two members on the task force. Tonight I make the formal presentation to the City Council of Gustine to ask them to put two members on the task force so we could look into building a healthcare facility on the west side. And not county run, but private.
Okay. Legislative Fiscal Management Report.
Yes, I did participate at last week's CSAC legislative conference on a panel at one of the workshops. The workshop title was a policy-driven state budget. My role and responsibility in that presentation was to represent the interests and positions of counties. Other participants in the on the panel represented legislators, speaker actually specifically, and legislative analyst's office, as well as our own Don Peterson representing the lobbying industry. So a very interesting discussion, and enjoyed it very much.
We do have a closed session today, if we could notice that.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, there's one item. It's a public employment performance evaluation of the chief executive officer, Surrey Government Code Section 549.54.5E.
We will adjourn the closed session.